Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleisher Show, broadcasting live from Judea. And you're a part of it wherever you are. Shalom and welcome. And shalom and welcome to summertime, which means that just everything is kind of different. Kids are off of school, and life runs at a different pace in the summer. Lots of tourists, lots of people visiting. And joining me on the show today is our beloved Malka Fleisher. Shalom, Malka.
Shalom, Yishai. Thanks for having me back. I've been missing the show.
It's good to have you back. And it's been summertime, you know, and as usual, exciting and tumultuous. We got through the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, the big story of Tisha B'Av.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, it was as usual kind of harrowing, but the big story this year of Tisha B'Av was the 1,726 folks that went up on the Temple Mount. That was pretty amazing. It was a record-breaking year, and there was a sign there that was put up by the chief rabbinate, which said that Jews really are not allowed to go up to the Temple Mount.
According
to Torah law, the folks of the many, many observant folks who love Torah law and want to follow it but disagree with that understanding tore down that sign. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
Did it go back up
or is it still gone?
I don't know. That was an act of
defiance.
That's right. It's like rabbinic defiance against rabbinic defiance, and we have a word here in Israel which is called mamlachti, which it's a tough word to translate. It means like respect the system of the state and the kind of respect the process, and then there are people who are less mamlachti and kind of want to push forward with going back to the Temple Mount. That's just one example. So that was really cool, this Tisha B'Av. But also this Tisha B'Av, we had to recall the murder of Dvir Sorek, who was murdered really 4 minutes away from here by drive, like right here.
Right.
Right to the entrance of this town of Efrat. It was like exactly like a biblical thing. It was between two towns was he murdered.
Wow.
And you could count the steps to whom it is closer. And it was close. It was close, but like the turnoff was to the turnoff of Migdal Oz.
And right across the street here from Efrat.
Right, and he's the son of a guy named Yoav Sorek, who I know, who I took a class with. And a tough, horrible murder.
And the son also of Rachel Sorek, whose father was murdered in a terror attack approximately around the time that Dvir was born.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So the tough stuff of the Middle East, and of course it was a jihadist murder, needless to say, and we're talking about being praised by Hamas and Islamic Jihad and PFLP, and we're really talking about classic anti-Jewish murder. The only thing is, you sometimes got to wonder with these guys, with these jihadist murderers, you're like, it's not going to work for you. It's not gonna
right. It's like you. I mean, it's a horrible thing what they do, right? And every murder is like the destruction of the entire world.
Right.
Yet at the same time, it's like getting one Jew, two Jews, three Jews, 10 Jews. That's not gonna. God forbid, a million God forbids. But that is not going to stop the process of Israel growing and building and getting stronger. It's not really effectual. It's just
right.
Bad.
Right. So that was. That's what happened. But you know what? If you're on the other side, you're thinking to yourself, look, Israel's already shrunken. It shrank in the early 80s, gave away the Sinai. It shrank by trying to give away Judea and Samaria, and many parts of it are still in control of the Palestinian Authority. I had this guy. This guy named Scott was tweeting against me, and he was angry that I was calling Isa Amru, a person who called for ethnic cleansing but did it in a sneaky way, this anti-Jewish provocateur in Hebron. And I said, Isa Amru is all about the ethnic... He calls himself nonviolent.
Who and calls himself
Isa
nonviolent?
Isa Amru. He's yes. Nonviolent.
Maybe you want to remind people who Isa Amru is.
So I'm saying he's a non-Jewish... He's an Arab jihadist, anti-Israel provocateur in Hebron.
Yes.
Who plays himself off as nonviolent. So
right.
I made the point. I'm like, what do you mean nonviolent? The guy is calling for ethnic cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's like, show me just one place.
Okay,
just one.
So did you?
I'm like, I just told you that he uses liberal language to get his point, to draw himself, to portray himself as a peace activist, human rights defender. So he's not going to use the real language of ethnic cleansing. Whenever he uses the word ending the occupation, what he really means is ending the Jewish presence. So the guy said to me, he goes, yeah, right. Like, you don't know nuance. There's a big difference between ending the occupation and ending Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria. I said to him, I wrote back, I'm like, dude, the Palestinian national movement, wherever it's been, it ethnically cleansed Jews. 1929, Hebron, ethnically cleansed the Jews there. 67 Jews murdered, community destroyed. 1948, takeover of the old city of Jerusalem. 55 synagogues destroyed, also 60 people killed in that battle. 2000, ethnic cleansing from the tomb of Joseph. 2005, Gaza, ethnic cleansing. There's not one Jew living in the Palestinian Authority areas, except for Hebron, just because of sheer tenacity. And so basically what I'm saying is, like, what are we talking about here? It's so blatantly obvious. This is a movement to ethnically cleanse Jews. That's what it does. And if you can't see through, so I wrote to the guy, I'm like, you're really good at nuance, but don't forget the big picture.
Right.
Okay. The reason I say this, I'm getting back to this is because if you look at it from their perspective, they may think they're winning. Like, yeah, we have this, like, shiny, beautiful Israel, and it's strong. But they're like, we're kicking them out slowly but surely. And now...
Wait, who's kicking who out slowly but surely? Oh, the Palestinian Authority is kicking out Israel?
Yeah, are kicking out the Jews.
But is that really happening?
Well, it depends how you look at it. I'm saying from their perspective. From our perspective, we're like, no, we have a shiny, awesome state. 6 million, 6.5 million Jews are living here. And it's only growing, and it's only awesome. That's one way.
Okay.
But another way to look at it is the Jews are shrinking. They gave away the Sinai.
Right.
They left parts of Judea and Samaria.
Right.
They left
slowly,
the Gaza Strip.
Slowly, we'll get what
we'll
we
get
want.
Them. And the world is turning against the Jews, including American students and all that kind of stuff. And we got Congress now starting to be more pro-Palestinian with the advent of the so-called, what we call the Jihad Squad. Okay? the Jihad Squad is coming to town. Okay, and they're coming to town tomorrow.
Yes, that should be interesting.
Rashida.
Maybe they're coming to town tomorrow.
Tlaib.
We're like all waiting to hear whether they're coming, whether they're not coming, whether they're allowed, whether they're not allowed.
You just wrote a story on JNS.org that says that President Trump really didn't want them to come. And by the way, there's a logic behind that. He wants to show them as being the face of the Democratic Party and the radical face of the Democratic Party. He wants to show them as mainstream and being like,
wait a second. You know, I'm not 100% sure because...
About what?
A big Democratic delegation just left Israel.
That's what I'm saying. He wants to... But he wants to win the elections.
Right.
So he wants to paint Tlaib and Ilhan Omar as the face of the Democratic Party.
That's where it's headed, like.
Right, so that he can delegitimize them. It's politics. In any case, they're coming to town, and of course they're going to go to Hebron, because that's...
Are they going to visit you, Isha? Are you going to greet them?
I'm going to say hello. No, I'm not. Right now, I'm not scheduled to greet them, plus we're scheduled to fly out, which is always the case. So we'll see
They're not supposed to be. I mean, maybe will they go to the Tomb of the Patriarchs? We don't know their schedule. It turns out that their schedule. Well, it matters only in the sense
that
maybe you'll see them.
Side.
They're not going to come on the Jewish side. Yeah,
they're going to the whole thing.
They'll come on the Arab side. They're not planning to meet with many Jews at all. It seems over the course of their thing,
and
they're going to go to the security fence. They're going to I read a report that basically said that the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem's like, we don't know what their plans are. Israel's foreign ministry is like, I don't know. The Palestinian Authority is like, we're not talking about it.
Right, because this
that's
is...
That's it. This, so they do know what the classic, plans are, but they're not going to say anything.
This is a classic show me the worst parts of a country. An example that somebody gave me, actually, Yehuda Glick's brother, Dr. Glick, here in Efrat, told me, he said to me...
I didn't know that we know Yehuda Glick's brother.
Yeah.
What kind of doctor is he?
A doctor who doctors in America a lot.
Huh.
But he said to me... He's like, imagine if somebody was like, let me show you the United States and took you just to the worst inner city neighborhoods and slums and was like, that's America. Right?
Right.
And you'd be like, okay.
America's not very nice.
Yeah, but you'd be like, wait, but like, that's not really America. He'd be like, no, I'll show you the real America. That's it. Show you these things. Show you the erva, you know, the negative points. And then make that out to be the real America, that would be a totally skewed that would be the sin, what we call the sin of omission. Mm. It's like, okay, you're showing me stuff, but
you're leaving out some critical info.
Right, it's not in context at all. It's just not in context.
Well, but Yishai, it's not like they need to come here to be educated. You know what I'm saying?
That's my point.
They're coming here not to be educated. They're coming here to show support for the PA and for the PA's plans to take over more and more parts of Israel and to basically conquer Israel into doing what they want.
A little correction there. They're not here to show support for the PA. They're here to delegitimize Israel.
Okay.
Okay, the PA is the beneficiary of that.
Except.
They're not showing the niceness of the PA. Their whole thing is one. Their whole goal is one. It's to delegitimize Israel. That is their goal. That's it. That's all what they're about. And that's all they're going to show. And that's the reality. The only thing I want to say is, and I'm glad we're talking it out, my beloved Malki, is that...
You cannot see my smile.
Yeah, there's one thing to learn from this. There's one thing to learn from this, from the whole like progressive left thing. There's one thing to learn, which is we have to show them Judea and Samaria our way.
Yes.
And that's what AIPAC will not wake up to, which is we got to show them the real Judea and Samaria, and not their version of it. And that's the thing that I wrote the same thing about, if not now, which is what they're really going to create is that everybody's going to be forced to actually see the true Judea and Samaria, because or else they'll control the narrative altogether.
Right.
This week's Torah, first thing, we have an awesome weekend coming down. First thing, it's yours and mine's anniversary.
Aww.
Now, is that 17 years?
Yeah, it is 17 years. Yeah.
I want to say something.
17 years of awesomeness.
17 years, Malka.
And some pretty bad moments, but mostly some pretty great moments.
That's right. I want to say 17 years. Forget like the fact that I love you and all that kind of stuff. I'm just like, look at me. I'm married
wow,
for
consistency.
17. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
That's called discipline.
I'm a mensch. Look at me. I'm a family man.
Yeah, what a family man.
You know, it's interesting about family men. It's interesting. It's interesting. It is a very satisfying value to
sure.
be a family man or a family woman,
yeah.
a family person. It's
so good.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that what you got?
You know, I think in a world where that's not said often.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's sort of devalued, perhaps.
Right. And my sister says to me, she goes, in Israel, like everybody you work with, she works at Weizmann Institute, she says to me, everybody's like a family person.
Mm-hmm.
She's
that's
like,
a it's big
she's like, it's not like
Jewish value and a big
right.
Israeli value.
She said she was at Columbia. She's like, it's not like that. A lot of people are single. They're working. Work is their main thing.
Yeah, and they're like actualizing themselves.
Right. And it's like, she's like, but here in Israel, it's like, being a family, and I just, as also working in Hebron next to the mothers and the fathers, it's like, and that's one of the ways that I'd like to paint Maarat HaMechpelah is like, it's a place of family values.
Right. Should make like a picnic. There should be like a Hebron picnic day, family picnic day.
Family day, right? Family, like the Jewish family day.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's like our.
So many options, Yishai.
That's our pride
parade. We just need like $300,000.
No worries. Okay, speaking of, so we have families, but at the end, those families are in the service of the Lord and the great promises of the Bible. Now, we have a giant, ginormous, overstuffed sandwich of a Torah portion. It's called Ve'et Hanan. And
what kind of sandwich?
Hot salami.
Hot salami?
I meant
that
like
sounds horrible.
With the what are
maybe,
these?
Maybe like a brisket?
Brisket's what I mean with, I don't know these names.
I just, I never ate hot salami. Well, maybe you
know,
I've had hot salami.
You know
salami.
That I'm not a food knower
hot
like
salami?
That.
Hot salami?
It's like a hot meat
I would have even thought maybe like an egg salad.
No, this poor portion
tuna.
Isn't an egg salad. That's a joke.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't look like an egg salad at all. Anyway, so this Torah portion is one of these overstuffed sandwiches. I have picked, it is also a Torah portion of the Ten Commandments.
Wow.
In that spirit and vein, I have chosen 10 verses for us to discuss.
Whoa.
In this very large Torah portion.
This is fun.
That's right. Okay. Here we go. Verse number one, it's we're talking about the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes.
Now, I love the book of Deuteronomy.
Which in Hebrew is?
Dvarim, the book of Dvarim. And there's one reason I don't like the book of Deuteronomy.
It's, I don't know if you're supposed to say that.
I don't mean don't really like it. I love it. But it's not so good for people like myself who give Dvar Torahs on Shabbat. Because every year when I get up there to give a Dvar Torah, I'm just like,
just read it.
Just read it. Yeah. Just read what it says, because it says it very, very directly. And there's kind of like nothing that you need to add to it. Just listen to the words. In any case, chapter 4 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 1, it goes like this. I'll read it in Hebrew and in English. Vata Yisrael, and now Israel. Shma et ha-chukim ve'el ha-mishpatim asher anochi melamed etchem la'asot lema'an tichyu uvatem ve'yarashtem v'yirishtem. I got listeners who, like, if I mispronounce something, they come on me like a hammer. V'yirishtem et ha-aretz asher Hashem elokei avotechem noten lechem. Okay, it's a simple verse, kind of clear, but I love it because there's a lot of verses like this. Let me translate it in English. Now, O Israel, listen to the decrees and to the ordinances that I teach you to perform so that you may live. So that's good for your life.
Right.
And live as a nation. And you will come and possess the land that Hashem, the God of your forefathers, gives to you. Meaning to say, you will come and you'll do these commandments, that's keeping the Torah. You'll possess the land that I, Hashem, promised to your forefathers.
Okay.
That is a, there are many verses like this. The connection is to the original promise to the forefathers. Keep the Torah, inherit the land. Our ancient peoplehood, keeping the Torah and its commandments, inheriting the land.
Sounds good.
Following God. That's the formula here. Okay, it's a theme that's said in different ways. This is one of those good verses that just says it in the most clear fashion. Okay, verse number 2, Malka. Here we go. Now, this is also chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, let's read in the Hebrew. Ushmartem vasitem, and you shall keep it, and you shall do. Ki hi chokhmatchem, for it is your wisdom, the Torah, ubinatchem, and your wisdom, your smartness, le'enei ha'amim, in the eyes of the nations. Asher yishmu'un et kol ha'chukim ha'ele, they'll hear about these laws, ve'amru, rak am chacham ve'navon ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh. They'll hear our interesting laws, our special laws, and they'll be like, that is a wise nation.
Sheesh!
Now, this is a very important verse. It's a very important verse because you have to understand, people respect you for being a Jew. People respect you for being a loud and proud Jew, doing your things in your way. And we've learned that from Chabad on campus and how they do stuff. You just be your Torah self.
I would like to spread that out also a little bit and just say, I think in general, if you be yourself and hold true to what you believe in and just be you, do you for real, FR, as we say in this house, do you for real, then people will respect you. I think that there's such a nervousness today,
right,
about having to be a certain way, think a certain way, do a certain thing in order to fit in. And I think it goes too far sometimes. And I think that we have to remember who we are and what we really think and what we really feel and be that. Mm-hmm. And eventually everyone else will come around to you.
And that the real wisdom, this to me is a very important point. Jewish people are not physically superior or inherently superior. The wisdom of the Jewish people is the law. Follow the law, learn the Torah, and you will gain wisdom and act in wisdom. Okay, there's a wisdom to this law, and that's what this verse is also saying. Studying the Torah and following it's a gift of wisdom. The Torah, and following it is wise and gives you wisdom.
Right.
By the way, I don't know why I had this tied into my head. There's a verse in Mishle, which is, Shma b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh torat imecha. My son, listen to the wisdom of your father and don't neglect the Torah of your mother. Now, I was thinking that is a yin yang. There's mother, father. And generally speaking, that's the part of the regular part of the yin yang. But then there's those two dots, right? And the two dots represent like that there's an opposite characteristic trait of the other one, right?
Right.
Which is like the wisdom, which is generally more like a women's type of like, women's wisdom. And then the Torah, which is generally studied by men. See, it's reversed. It's like your father's got wisdom. That's like a feminine trait that he has. And the mother's got Torah. Ostensibly a masculine trait.
Right.
All I'm trying to say, there's like a yin yang. These two things go together, and study these Torahs and wisdoms, you will be wise. How do you like that? Okay,
like,
Malka?
Like.
Fine. Verse number 3. Let me make sure I did it right here. Oh, why did I choose this one? I don't know, but there it is. Here we go. So this is verse 9 of the same chapter. It says, "Rak hishamer lecha ushmo nafshecha meod. Pen tishkach ta dvarim asher ra'u ha'einecha upen yasuru milvavecha kol yomei chayecha v'odatam levanecha ulivnei vanecha." So
it's just a good summer Torah right there.
Right. Only beware
just
for
be
yourself.
Cautious in the summertime.
Right. Only beware for yourself and greatly beware for your soul. Right. This is the time that I came down off of bungee jumping and I was so like cool. And this ultra Orthodox Jew ran up to me and he's like, "Vinishmatim od nafshaseichem." And I'm like, "What? Nishmatim od nafshaseichem." And he was quoting this verse. He says, "Be careful, very, very careful with your soul. You're not supposed to do these things." But then it adds, "Lest you forget the things that your eyes have beheld, and lest you remove from them from your heart all the days of your life, and make them and also make them known to your children and your children's children." You got to teach it to the children.
Right. Otherwise, what's the point?
You got to teach it to your children. Sometimes I wonder, why do we need to, like, why did God create us with, like, such blank slates, and we have to work all our lives to teach it to our kids and pass it on? But that's the game.
That's how it is. Why?
Why?
Well, how could it work the other way?
God could have made us with...
He taught us some stuff that you don't have to teach people. It's not like you have to teach everything.
Well, you don't have to teach to make your heart beat, for example. Like, a lot of stuff, the machinery is kind of preordained, but you still have to keep that healthy as well. Where were we? That was verse number 3, Malka? Verse number 4. V'efitz Hashem etchem ba'amim. Hashem is going to spread you out in the nations. V'nishartem etem mispar. You'll be left just a few. Bagoyim, amongst the nations. Asher yineheg Hashem etchem shama. Okay, and then he'll spread you out amongst the Gentiles, which he will drive you there, and then later on it's going to say, this will be in later chapters even more. Veshavta ad Hashem lokecha veshamata b'kolon. You're going to return to Hashem your God and listen to His voice. There's going to be the theme here is dispersal, and then. And then ingathering is going to be always tied to tshuva. And a person who, many times when you're about tshuva, you hear the call to the land of Israel. You return to God, you return to the land of Israel. These are connected things. And that's just the theme. Follow the Torah, as we said before, follow the Torah, you'll inherit the land. Then if you're bad, you get kicked out. You'll be ingathered when you search out and see God. That's tshuva. That's return. And I think this morning a nefesh benefesh plane landed.
Another one?
There was one yesterday. Yesterday, yeah. A cargo.
I think it was the 60,000th.
Ole.
That's very nice.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And many of them come to here to Gush Etzion. So the Jewish people are in gathering, and part of that is tshuva.
In fact, I saw there's like a WhatsApp group here in Efrat for ladies from a certain neighborhood. So they were like, but one lady was like, "Mazel tov to my sister and someone else in the community's sister-in-law who just made Aliyah and they're moving down the street."
That's amazing. That is.
Isn't that nice?
That's amazing. Why did I pick this verse?
I don't know. Go ahead. It's all right. Don't be afraid.
I went through it and I picked these verses. Oh, I see why. verse 34.
You had to pick, I guess there's 35. Lots to pick.
Yes, there was. That's exactly my point. I picked just 10. Ata hareta ladat. Kashem hu elokim ein od milvado. That's the verse. I got confused which one I picked. I thought maybe the one after. That's the verse. The verse is, let me find the translation exactly. 36. 35. You have been shown in order to know that Hashem, He is the God. There is none beside Him. Now, in Chassidut and in much of kind of our lifestyle, the truth is that... that idea of Ein Od Milvado, you'll see it on giant trucks here in Israel.
Yeah, it's like a cab driver's favorite phrase.
Right.
In Israel, it really like caught on
right.
in the driving community.
That's right. I think a humongous truck passed me and just said Ein Od Milvado.
Yeah, they get it put on stickers on their, right. like big, you know, the custom stickers
right.
that don't come off your car.
What is Ein Od Milvado? There is none but Him.
I always like it when I pass those cars. I'm like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I think when you make a sign like that on your car, it's a big chesed. You're doing a real kindness for people.
Right.
Because then they just have a good thought.
Get them back in their lane, right. Quote unquote.
Right. Stop honking at me. Ain't old Movado. No. So my point is ain't old Movado. Also, there's much depth even beyond the scope of this show. But the point is to really understand that everything is really God's will. The whole world is God's will. God only does good. We have to get through the hardships that we find in life, and we have to find God inside of there. I also saw, by the way, love another Jew because he's got a part of God in him.
Yes.
And this consciousness that...
What do you do with some people who are really, really bad, though?
The Rambam...
There's some Jews who are really, really bad.
There are laws about this. For example, if somebody is out there teaching anti-Torah, anti-Israel stuff, you're allowed to fight him and embarrass him in public, and you're allowed to go totally full on. And you don't have to... You can... You know, you could still love the person without loving what he's up to. That's one way. But also to understand that the enemies of the Jewish people, even if they're Jewish, they are enemies. So, you know, you're not treating them the same way as a total enemy, but you certainly don't have to come to their rescue and that kind of thing. Okay? Like an enemy of the Jewish people, sadly that happens from amongst our own, you gotta know that you're not like commanded to be totally cool with that. You can do battle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do battle. In any case, Ein Od Milvado. There is none other but him. That's the phrase. And if you learned anything on today's show, it's Ein Od Milvado. Just say that. Ein Od Milvado.
Ein Od Milvado.
Ein Od Milvado is like, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no. You click that three times. You just say, Ein Od Milvado. Ein Od Milvado. Ein Od Milvado. And you're going to be fine.
Sling. You're great. Well, okay. It is good. It's like a good meditation.
Yes. It's the best. Ein Od Milvado.
You know, there's also all these apps and stuff about like how to deal with anxiety and panic attacks and stuff like that.
I don't know. Is that right, Malka?
That's right.
I didn't know that.
So I'm just saying that there's like this phrase is like a great thing to think about.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great thing to meditate on.
Ein Od Milvado.
Ein Od Milvado.
Ein Od Milvado.
Ein Od Milvado. Just say it over and over again.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a mantra. It's the Om of the Torah. Okay. We're going to get to another Om soon enough.
Okay.
Here's another verse. Verse number 6. It's right after it. It's one after it. Not the next one, the one after. Why did I pick it? Here we go. why did I pick this one? Look at that. V'tacha. I don't know why. Oh, v'tacha. And because of the fact, ki ahav et avotecha. He loved your forefathers. V'yivchar bezaro acharav. And he chose their seed after them, right? There's different explanations. He chose his offspring after him. I think it means maybe Abraham. Ve'yutziecha befanav bekocho hagadol mimitzrayim. And he took you out from before himself, God, with his great strength from Egypt. The point that I wanted to say again here, the verse is just like there's a few recurring themes. The land, the Torah, the forefathers and mothers, okay? That is the recurring...
That's the grouping.
What's the word? What's the word? Refrain.
Refrain. Nice.
Refrain. Okay, there's the next section is the cities of refuge.
Seventh. Why did I pick this one?
No. Then there's the Ten Commandments, and I picked honor thy father and thy mother, right? It's commandment number five. Number five. Honor your father and your mother as Hashem, your God, commanded you. So that your days will be lengthened, and so that it'll be good for you, where? Upon the land that Hashem, your God, gives you. Kabed et avicha ve et imecha, kasher tzivcha Hashem lokecha, leman yarichun yamecha, leman yitav lach, al adama asher Hashem lokecha noten lach. Okay, I think I've said this before in the show, but oftentimes I tell my kids, please understand, I'm not commanding you to honor me because it's for me. I have to do the same thing for my parents, and your kids are going to have to do the same thing for you. This is the way that we perpetuate the family value system. This is the way we perpetuate the family bond. This is the way I am able to educate you and pass on to you to the next generation. This is not far from it a selfish thing. I mean, raising children is a crazy job. That you get like that you have to do for some reason. So it's like it's a crazy heavy job that they just threw on you.
They're like, oh, you'll love this.
You. Yeah. It'll give you.
You'll feel so satisfied.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like. It's
we love our kids. Tfu, tfu, tfu. Admeva esrim, children.
Knows. It's a heavy.
When you listen to this in many years, the recordings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, go on, Yishai.
The Ten Commandments are this is the redux of the Ten Commandments here in this week's Torah portion. There's slight differences which come out to a lot of different interesting learnings about the Sabbath, about different things. But in this case, but the Ten Commandments are, of course, the same, essentially the same, in the same order, and they came down, as Moshe said, on two tablets. These are the 15
Ten
Commandments, okay? The Ten Commandments is a, how should we say, if you're like Iron Man and you have that like little engine heart thing.
I'm sorry, I'm unaware of what you speak because I do not
about,
watch
I'm talking
Iron
about
Man.
The central power source. The
kind so of, a battery?
Yes. The engine, the little.
Yes, so wait, what about Iron Man?
Nothing about Iron Man. I'm saying that the heart of it all, the beating, pulsating kind of engine of knowledge of the Torah is the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
It's a kind of, think of it as a library that you delve into, and then everything else is on microfiche over there. Okay, I'm not coming up with a good
paragraph. Let me ponder that.
Yeah, I'm saying that the Ten Commandments are the heart of it, and there's another heart which we're going to get to in a second. Oh, here it is, verse number 8. Guess what? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu,
yes.
Hashem Echad,
important
which
one.
Is a micro version of the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments. The first two commandments are a micro version of the Ten Commandments. Okay? The first two commandments, I am God, don't have any other gods before me, that is
that's
basically
like what you need to know.
That's the DNA. And your grandfather, Alav Shalom, told me something I'll never forget, that basically when he saw a Russian soldier, and the Russian soldier turned out to be a Jew trying to rescue him from the Holocaust, he said to him, I'm a Jew. The Russian soldier. And then he said to him, Shema Yisrael. And that is a way to, that's a password.
That's the access code.
That's the access code because that is the heart of the heart of the heart. Okay? That is the heart of the heart, which is what? I am God. Don't have any other gods before me. Meaning to say, I'm really God, but I'm not in together with other forces. It's not like serve me and other things. It's like, I am the God. I'm the creator of all things. Don't see in other things other powers. I am the source of it all. And that's really the first two commandments. The Shema is that, which is, it says, listen, Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, that is, I am God, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, God is one, as in there's no other. So it's that little phrase is by itself the shorthand version of the whole Ten Commandments. That is the shorthand version of the whole Torah. Okay, Shema Yisrael, that's why we teach it. But I actually like the next verse in terms of utility. The next verse I like for me personally and for meditation more, because this actually calms me down a lot of times. Vahafta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol vavecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. Love Hashem your God with all of your heart. Rabbis say with both sides of your heart. B'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, even if they take your soul. B'chol me'odecha, with all of your worldly possessions. Okay? That chills me out sometimes, because sometimes I'm like, why am I working so hard on this Israel-Jewish stuff? Why can't I just take a break? Then I'm like, because you have to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. By the way, a lot of times people say to me, where is the verse that says that you should make aliyah? Where does it say in the Torah you should make aliyah? I say, v'havta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. Love Hashem your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your worldly possessions. If you love somebody, you want to be close to them. And so if you love Hashem, you want to be close to His holy city, Yerushalayim, and to His holy land, where it's a local call, right? So there you go. That is a very important phrase, and it just will remind you what it's all about. What it's all about is you gotta love God. That's another thing. You gotta like. Sure, you gotta fear Him. Damn straight, right? You gotta fear God, right?
But don't have to ask me twice.
That's right. Well, I think people don't know that you and I are a perfect mixture.
Yin and yang.
We're the yin
and
yang.
That's what we were talking about before.
I bring the ahava into the household. You bring the yira. You're the yira master. That doesn't mean you don't have ahava. Doesn't mean that I don't have a shtickl yira. Okay, but you,
well, you.
Yeah, but you're the year, I'm the Ava, and that works well together.
Yes,
for
Hashem.
Our family. Okay, we got two more verses, Mom, and then we're done. I'm skipping a little bit here. Oh, here we go. Oh, here's a controversial one.
All right. Wait, what number are we on?
Number 9.
Okay.
Verse number 9, which is chapter 7, Book of Deuteronomy, verse 6. Here we go. Are you ready? Is your political correctness set to minimum? Okay. Okay, you ready?
Okay, I'm trying.
Ki am kadoshata l'Hashem Elokecha. For you're a holy nation unto Hashem your God. Becha bachar Hashem Elokecha. He, God has chosen you. Oh no. Liyot lo le'am zgula, to be a holy, to be a special nation, a powerful nation for him. Mikol amim, from all the other nations, asher al pnei adama, which are on the face of the earth. How do you deal with that? Okay. Bang. God is, you're the chosen people. You gotta be specialer than other people. Okay. He has chosen you from all the other nations on the earth, for you're a holy nation unto God. Well, that's not fair.
All right, I don't know what to say.
Is that fair?
I'm not in charge of that department.
Right. That's a fine answer, by the way. That's a fine answer. I think that's a very fine answer. And that is the least haughty answer of them all, which is, if the Torah is true, then that's the way it is. And, you know. And
right. But it's also, you have to, you can really unpack that, though, also. Meaning to say that the Jews, maybe we are an Amzgula, right? Right. Maybe we are a special nation. Maybe we are a beloved nation. But that doesn't exculpate us from dealing with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning to say that the Jewish people are really supposed to do a lot of their specialness is pertaining to the nations of the world. Hashem wants us to be a light unto the nations. Why? Because he only cares about the light? No, because he cares about the nations. He wants the nations to have good. Incidentally, we go to the nations. You especially go to the nations. It's very, very clear that God loves the nations. He's good to the nations. He gives them tons. In some sense, he gives them a lot more than us.
Speaking of that, we're going to the nations.
Yes, we're going to the nations.
We're
I'm scared.
We're going to the great Costco. I mean, the United States of America. we'll be having a lot of fun. We're going to
I'm excited.
I
have to sign up for that. There's this secret program where you can sign up for like membership at museums that are members of this club called ASTC. I can't remember, American Science and Technology something. And you sign up at a membership at one of these museums, and then you can get into like 400 plus science and technology related museums around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to hopefully go see the Intrepid Air and Space Museum. I don't know how we got all these space and things, like science museums, but we're also supposed to go to the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey.
Yep.
We might go to the Natural History Museum in New York.
That's going to be a lot. That's a lot. That's
a lot of science. That's a lot and of history of yeah. science.
Natural history is awesome. That big whale room and the mineral room, those are great.
So should we go there instead of Liberty Science Center?
I've never been there, so I have no idea. Look it up on the internet.
Wait, to Liberty Science Center, you've never been?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to write? Liberty Science Center v. Natural History Museum? How am I supposed to figure out which one we go to? Which one do we go to,
Maka,
people?
Maka, you know, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Yeah, go and you ask people's reviews, check out the pictures, you'll know within 10 minutes. That's the way of our world today.
So I'll leave that to you then.
Nope. No, I got other
No,
things.
Because it's going to be so easy.
No, that's why
it's
I
It's going
it
to take
you.
10 minutes. Didn't you say 10 minutes?
I think it'll take you 10
so
minutes.
So take 10 minutes out of your tweeting time and use it for Science Center research.
Uh-huh. I'll tweet that. My wife tells me to get off Twitter. Yeah, we've been
not
tweeting
off on, just for 10 minutes to do
oh
this
gosh.
Very easy job.
Twitter, it's an addiction. But I had a bad day yesterday. I had a Twitter day yesterday.
Yeah.
Now I'm off of it today.
Okay.
Today,
yeah, you're
today.
Taking a little detox.
Yeah, a little. Even though Tlaib and Omar are coming to Hebron, so I gotta.
Okay, you'll
I gotta get
back
on the on the wagon. Or off the wagon. I got a tweet. In any case, yeah, definitely join Maka on Twitter. She's like a sharp tongue. People ask me, they're like, how are you, like, do you get in a lot of trouble at home?
What? Yeah, they do not ask you that.
Yeah, because they're like, she is such a whip on
so
Twitter.
So I seem mean?
No, well, I told them to the bad guys. She's
yeah.
bad, but she's good to the
nice
good guys.
I'm like, have some Kugel.
That's right, exactly. Okay, so we'll be on a 1 week trip for America. It's really a it's really a grandma trip. We're going to see the
yes,
kid's great grandmother, and before our daughter's bat mitzvah. So that's very important. Amen. Last verse of the day, Maka, verse number 10. It's a long one. It goes like this. It's verse 9 in chapter 7, Book of Devarim, and it goes like this. V'yadata k'shem lokecha hu ha'elohim. And you shall know that Hashem, your God, is the God, Ha'el Hane'eman, the God who is trustworthy, Shomer Abrit, keeps the covenant, Ve'achesed, and the kindness, Lo'ohavav, to his lovers, U'Shomerei Mitzvotav, to the keepers of his commandments, Le'elef Do, for 1,000 generations.
Wow. How many generations have there even been?
He is promising that he is, Moshe Rabbeinu is promising, it's a good God. And you could trustworthy God, Like you could put your trust in God, you know, and it's your best banker. It's your most trustworthy ally in this world. And you see, Maka, these verses, like, what's there to really add to that?
Nothing.
It's just read that and believe it.
Thumbs up.
I always tell people, like, Book of Deuteronomy, just read it and believe it. That's all you have to do. It's like there's not much to add to it. You know, there's not much. It's not like a lot of secrets in it. It's like there certainly are secrets, but it's like it on the simplest level, it's the Book of Jewish Philosophy. That's what I always say. The Book of Jewish Philosophy. If you want to read, a lot of people read a lot of great, great books of Musar that have been written of you know, proper behavior. I always say, you want a Book of Jewish Philosophy and proper behavior? Book of Deuteronomy. That's all you need. And that will just tell you how to feel and how to behave, mostly. Okay, Malka, so we're on the road, and I want to wish you a happy anniversary. I think
happy anniversary.
17 years. That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty good-ish.
And it's also on Tu B'Av, okay, which is the holiday of love. And the holiday of love between Am Yisrael and the land of Israel, Am Yisrael, Hashem and Am Yisrael, and of course between husband and wife, etc., and of course parents and children, all the loves, all the friendship, all the great loves that are out there, that is going to be celebrated this weekend on Shabbat. Actually, I think it's on Thursday night, but you and I really, if you think about it, we got married at the end of Tu B'Av.
At the end of Tu B'Av, right.
So that is coming this Friday night. Isn't that nice?
Aww.
Isn't that nice? Okay. So that is the wonderful holiday of love, which is the kind of flip of Tisha B'Av, which is the holiday love torn asunder.
Yee.
When you're kicked out of the land, your temple's destroyed. That is like there's no love there, right? Mm-hmm. But in truth, there is, because God was really angry. He would destroy the Jewish people. This way he just takes it out on sticks and stones. And so we are ingathered in love, and when the temple will be rebuilt, says Rav Tzadok, that the 9th of Av till the 15th of Av will be a fourth pilgrimage holiday in the summertime.
Wow, that's nice.
That's right. That's right. The pilgrimage holiday of the temple and of love.
Wow.
That's right. And I heard this from Rabbi Klatz, what's his name? Klatzko.
Nice.
Klatzko. That's Jewish. And he said something that I'll never forget. He is a good talker. There's a guy who can
talk. Where do you hear him?
I heard him I was just in two events where he spoke.
Wow.
He's good.
He is good.
Yeah.
So what does he say?
So he says, take the whole world. What's the holiest region in the world? Like the Holy Land. He's like, good. What's the holiest city in the Holy Land? Jerusalem. What's the holiest place in the Holy Land? The Temple Mount, the temple. What's the holiest place in the temple? The Holy of Holies. He goes, okay, so that's the heart of the heart. He's like, yes. Everybody's like, yes. He's like, now take a pin, put it through the Holy of Holies, right in the middle of it. What are you going to find? You put that pin right between the two cherubs, okay? The two cherubs that represent the love of Hashem and the people of Israel. That's really God's love in this world.
Mm.
He's like, the heart of the story is the love. That is the heart of Judaism, he says. And it was just the way he does it much better than that.
Everyone was crying?
Like, you know, it just makes a good point, which is if you go to the very heart of it all, it's really about love. And so, too, if you think about it, the same thing with Chevron, which is what is it really all about? So that's what Judaism is about. That's what Tu B'Av is about. And that's, of course, the relationship that we have with our beloved listeners out there. And we do want to recommend that you stay in touch with us. Write me an email, yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Also, visit thelandofisrael.com for more great show hosts.
Yes.
Also, buy yourself some True Blue Jew Blue String Tchelet, TEKHELET.com. They're sponsors of the show.
I just want to say my kids, both of my sons, two, are so proud of their Tchelet Tzitzit.
Right.
And they love them. And they, if something happens with them or we can't find them, they get upset and they don't want to wear the other ones.
No, that's it. Once you go blue, you can never...
Undo.
Once you go blue, you can never undo. Okay, that's the way it is. That's exactly right. So once you go, the kids went blue, and that's it. They got the blue string. They you know, and an animal died to make this thing. Died in two
little,
meanings.
Little snail.
Dual meaning.
Died. That's funny.
Yeah. And that makes it just valuable. So that's really cool. And of course, come visit us in Hebron by visiting hebronfund.org or hebron.com. Visit us at hebronfund.org and come to one of our tours to the fathers and mothers. It's awesome. And I want to thank Ben Bresky, Moshe Herman, and Tabitha for rocking the audio and getting it out there to the world. And send us a hashtag. Hashtag lots of love. Hashtag I can't believe it's not butter.
What?
I don't know. It has nothing to do with anything. I can't believe it's not milchik. You know when a really good Shabbos cookie. Oh, here's the hashtag.
Yep.
Hashtag Stella Doro. Okay? Because there is nothing that shows love in this world like having a Stella Doro cookie on Shabbos. And Malka.
Wait, what do you want for Shabbos? Shabbos anniversary.
I want a Stella Doro cookie. That's what okay. I want. I want you to get
anything
me.
Anything else?
I want you to go downstairs and get one of those Stella Doro cookies.
Okay. You got it.
And that with tea.
Blinetter.
That is one of the greatest.
Well, what else
moments.
Though?
That's
it.
That's the highest.
Two thing. Packages of Stella Doro cookies.
No, don't do that. That's not that. Then it's too much love. So yeah, folks. God bless you wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining us and stay part of the story by plugging in, reading this Torah portion, Ve'etchanan, listening to the other shows, getting on a plane to the land of Israel, being connected wherever you are, including my good buddy Ari in Barcelona. Okay. Oh my gosh. I must be really going senile. Hold on one second.
What'd you do?
Yeah. This show is dedicated by my friend Dan Harris. And because I forgot it to the end of the show, I'm going to do it also next week, hopefully for America. I want to mention Dan Harris's lovely parents, his father and his mother, who I briefly met once when I was speaking at the Chabad of Camarillo, Dr. Harvey and Jessica Harris. And they are dedicating the show today to their health. And they're continue. How come I don't hear him, Malka? I think you pressed down your button. There you go. Come back with your button. There you go. Come back.
Am I back?
That's right. You're back. And so thank you to Dr. Harvey and Jessica Harris.
Thank you, Dr. Harvey and Jessica Harris.
That's right. Bless them.
You should really be blessed with a lot of health, happiness, nachas from the children, and just like a very sweet and happy summer, many more sweet and happy summers. Lots
children
of great
grandchildren,
grandchildren, great grandchildren.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Just every kind of happy, smiley thing that you can think of.
All right, folks. So lots of blessings to the Harrises and blessings to you wherever you are. Thanks again for being with us. Lots of love from Judea, land of blessings. The blessings are coming to you. Shalom.
Shalom.